T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Okay. That was interesting. This hour on the Score brought to you by First American Bank, the largest privately held bank in Illinois. We do more for your money. Bill Cartwright will be on the show in about 15 minutes. So the guests today on the show were Mac, Carlos Zambrano, and Bill Cartwright, a.k.a. my childhood.
Different tiers of your childhood, too.
Oh, definitely.
Because Mac's probably a little bit later on. Zambrano's
Cartwright
60?
Early. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Stop referring to Carlos Zambrano as your childhood.
Yeah, well.
That's not a thing.
Well, I mean, I was 16, 17
we
in 2003.
Still in high school, is that childhood? What
you
is
had
that?
Your bar mitzvah, didn't you, by then?
All right, so I'm a man. Okay, adolescence. Carlos, my adolescence. Whatever. I wasn't voting. Before I voted, all those people were in my life. That was really interesting and not exactly what I expected. But people are saying, well, that was totally different than what you expected. No, I read the article in the Sun-Times where he said that God told him to get back into baseball. So I knew that there was going to be religion in the interview. But I didn't know how much he absolutely believes that he is carrying out God's plan, and that God's plan for him is to get into baseball to as influential of a position as he can be. He's trying as a player first, and then as you heard, maybe it'll be as a broadcaster or a coach, to get back into the game to help spread the word of God. One thing that we did not get into on the air, but just to encapsulate just how strongly he feels about this, is, right, Carlos Zambrano is from Venezuela. He was talking about how he is a pastor and how he speaks to hundreds and thousands of people, and he spreads the gospel and spreads the word. His father is back in Venezuela, and he said he goes back. He lives in Miami. He goes to Venezuela probably about 10 days a month, is what he said. And I've talked to Wilson Contreras about this before, on the air and off, that Wilson Contreras, a big thing that weighs on him is that his family's back in Venezuela, and it's very dangerous, and they've got a humanitarian crisis going on there. It's not quite a civil war, but it's like a mass exodus of people leaving the country, and there's just not enough resources and wealth, and so there's a lot of crime, and there's a lot of robbing, and there's a lot of violence and looting and all of this sort of thing, and people are leaving Venezuela literally by the millions. And Carlos Zambrano told me during the break that when he goes back to Venezuela, he doesn't have security. That once he found the word of God, he got rid of his security because he said that God would protect him. And we were talking about his finances, and he said his money's good. So he is still a target to be robbed. And he says that he won't be messed with because he's spreading the good word. So, I mean, that is how much he believes what he's saying, whether you believe it or not, or I believe it or not, whatever. That it's clearly a personal thing. But that is how committed he is to believing what he was just saying on the air over the last 30-plus minutes. As he goes back to Venezuela every month for prolonged stretches of time with no security whatsoever. That is a very, very interesting man in a very interesting situation. And he thought that he was saying also that he doesn't care what people think anymore, because he knows that he's got a higher purpose, which if you can get yourself into a spot to believe that, more power to you. So we'll see what happens with Carlos Zambrano and his comeback with the Chicago Dogs, and we appreciate them for bringing him in. That's thechicagodogs.com. Could not have been cooler, could not have been a nicer guy, so appreciate it. Think about just the changes, man. Shep just putting it up. Over 2.7 million people have left Venezuela since 2015, over 9% of its population. Thank you for the stat. Because I said literally millions, and you guys know that sometimes I misuse literally and figuratively. But in that case, I use literally correctly. That was not the Carlos Zambrano, though. Like, he's totally mellow. He's not interested in talking about the fights and the ejections. And I thought it was interesting, too, that he said that he pointed to the sky because he was taught it, but it didn't mean anything to him back then.
Yeah, I think people, like, obviously they remember the highlights and they remember the craziness that happened with him, but that's kind of his trademark, was when he walk off, whether he gave up six runs, whether he pitched a no-hitter, he always did that. And you definitely had a different thought of what he was thinking at that time instead of what he turns out that he was.
Yeah, that was a hell of a thing. So we appreciate him for coming in, and he's an interesting cat. 37 years old, long-ass time, right? 8 years or so.
If the Cubs were to sign him, he wouldn't be the oldest Cub. Isn't that crazy?
I know.
It's only by 6 days, but he wouldn't be the oldest Cub.
He was in touch with Zobrist a little bit. You know, an old Cub, but you know, said he was in touch with Tim Buss. That guy loves the Cubs, and he was, like you said earlier, he was frustrating that he didn't maximize his potential, but he also clearly was not very grounded between the ears, and he admitted that in that interview, that he let his emotions get the best of him, that he didn't feel like he had a purpose, that he was too much of a hothead, and it affected him when he was out there. But that is a very different Carlos Zambrano than we all rooted for when he was at Wrigley Field. Could not have been cooler, could not have been nicer, so I'll always root for him. And donating his salary to charitable works in his home country and here, and trying to give back and trying to make his life about bigger than just himself and his family. Even if you disagree with the methods, or you're not a believer, or whatever the case may be, no problem there. It's actually, if you want me to really peel back the curtain of that interview. So Mitch Rosen, our boss, came in while Zambrano and the guy from the Dogs was in studio. The woman from the Dogs was in studio. And Mitch brought in a gentleman who he knows, who was here for I don't know exactly what reason other than him and Mitch are friends, but that guy knows my mom. They actually work together. And he says, say hi, you know, say hi to your mom. And I had never met the guy, but my mom had said that he's a listener to the radio or whatever. And he's like, you know, next time you see your mom, tell her I say hi. And I said, oh, okay. You know, I will. I'm seeing her for Passover tomorrow night. And Zambrano goes, oh, you're Jewish. And it just didn't quite hit me like how much of that conversation was going to be about religion. Not in a disparaging way or at all, but like, he is just very in tune to religion. And I said to him, just kind of offhand, like, yeah, I'm Jewish, but I'm not really practicing. I'm not overtly religious.
You're Jewish.
Yeah, I'm Jewish. I started to try to explain that to him, and then Tanny's Open was coming back, and I was like, I guess I don't need to be getting into the degrees of faith or lack thereof that I have with him. And he's just like looking and nodding at me. And then the first words out of his mouth are that God told him. And he didn't believe pastor number one or pastor number two. But by the time pastor number three told him to get back in, that would be a bit of a head trip. If you believe that the word of God had spoken to you and said, go play baseball, but God. I can only throw 89 to 91. Well, go give it a shot.
Work on your movement there, kid.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Work on your off-speed stuff. But, all right. Carlos Zambrano making a comeback with the Chicago Dogs. I'll be honest. I'll watch. Wouldn't you go check him out? Wouldn't you go?
Absolutely.
I would, too.
Yes.
I would, too.
I mean, especially it's... Chicago Dogs are right down the street from me. That's a 10-minute ride to start, so it's already I'm interested. But you throw Big Z on there, I will be out at a Chicago Dogs game or two this summer checking out Big Z.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm intrigued. And he gave me his number afterwards. He said he'd come on anytime. So we'll get him on, and he'll continue to tell some stories. And it's a hell of a career that he's trying to revitalize. 37 years old. I would have guessed older.
Because he was so young when he was a key part of that 03 team.
I know.
You associate him with that, and you're like, oh, yeah, so he has to be in his 40s, mid-40s by now. It's like, no, he's not.
Yeah, I would have. If you would have said to me a week ago, how old is Carlos Zambrano, I would have said 42 to 45, probably. I would have been 5 to 10 years off in how much I would have guessed.
Well, and he was only 30 years old his last year as a Cub.
Well, that's the thing, like, that I had forgotten.
That's
that he wasn't 33, 34, 35. That he got out of here at such a young age. And I mean, I remember he hit Chipper Jones, right? It was Chipper Jones.
I remember the Edmonds one.
He hit Chipper Jones in his last game, and then basically quit. It's like, I'm done. And that was what led to him walking away. The Edmonds one was earlier. The Edmonds one was 04, and that was pretty epic. Because, yeah, I conflated and said that he hit both Edmonds and Rowland, but it was that he...
Rowland hit the home run Rowland hit the home the batter run. Before.
Exactly.
And Edmonds...
Rowland hit the home run. He got a hit off of him, then he struck him out, then Rowland hit the home run, then he hit him. Then he hit Edmonds. And then he got ejected.
Which, like, in Carl Zambrano's defense, yes, he gave up the game-winning home run in the eighth inning and whatnot of that. But I should have just shaken his hand and said thank you for hitting Jim Edmonds.
Right?
Like, most dislikable non-Cub ever.
Well, that's why I had to bring it up.
My God.
I was like, listen, you hit guys intentionally.
In 08 was so weird with him being here, but like, I wanted to just shake his hand and like give him a half a hug of like, appreciate that. Even if you lost that game, appreciate your efforts there.
And even if now he would be embarrassed by it and not sure. want to be remembered for it, because now he has a purpose. Whatever, man. I'm not as enlightened as you. I liked you hitting Jim Edmonds. Even if I say what the Royals did to Tim Anderson is dumb in that moment, yeah.
Like, you pick one guy in a 20-year window of Major League Baseball for me to pick to get hit by a Carlos Zambrano fastball. That's the guy I'm choosing.
Yes. Yes. Me as well. People asking why he's not on the Dawgs roster yet. I don't know, but he said that workouts start May 2nd, and their opening day is May 17th. So not announced yet on when he'll start, when he won't start, or anything like that. But I'm sure they will be promoting the news, because this is the most that we've talked about the Chicago Dawgs, and it's a great job by them. An independent league team signing a guy with a huge following who also was must-see TV and is interesting and is talking about getting back to the big leagues and now is media-friendly. That is the perfect promotion for an independent league, a minor league ball club to try to make a run. So good luck to Carlos Zambrano. That was pretty cool. This segment is brought to you by Account Temps. Payroll, bookkeeping, month-end, are you feeling short-staffed? Account Temps can provide accounting and finance professionals on a temporary or project basis when you need them to help you with increased workloads. Call us today or visit accounttemps.com. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. Bill Cartwright, he was the center of the Bulls' first three-peat. He was the coach of their second three-peat. He's involved in something pretty cool coming up. He will tell us stories about that and from his career coming up. McNeil and Parker's on the Score.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Chicago Bulls welcome the world's greatest fans to the Chicago Stadium, the noisiest arena in the NBA. I'm Ray Clay, and tonight's NBA Finals Game 2 is between the Los Angeles Lakers and your Chicago Bulls. Now for tonight's lineups.
Legendary voice right there in and of itself. Our next guest, Bill Cartwright, joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, home of F-150s, for $229 a month. He's the center of the Bulls' first three-peat, a coach on their second three-peat, and he's involved in something really cool at the Union League Club tonight, honoring Lacey Banks with the Ring Lardner Award. Bill Cartwright joins us now, McNeil and Parkins on the Score. How you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing really well, downtown, ready for the event.
So for anyone who doesn't know Lacey Banks and the Ring Lardner Award, tell them about what's going on tonight.
Well, they're honoring, it's sponsored by the Boys and Girls Club, and they're honoring Lacey, who was one of our beat writers, great guy, first African-American to work at the Sun-Times. But this is just a guy of great depth. He was a Baptist minister, and he was with us, obviously, at a very special time in the Bulls organization. So he did a great job for us, spent a lot of time around him. Like I said, learned a lot from him, just about not only about basketball, but just about how to treat people well. So that's why they asked me to come down here and present the award to his daughter. So I was pleased to do so.
So his daughters will be receiving the award on his behalf posthumously, and you'll be presenting him. It's a very cool story. He was, like you said, the first black sports writer for the Sun-Times, and he worked there for 40 years from 1972 to 2012. It's obviously such a black league. How much did it matter back then to you to have, it's not exactly a diverse profession even now, but back then to have a black journalist covering the team?
Well, you know, we care more about the people. You know, if somebody's treating you honestly and asking fair questions, one of our beat writers, I'm still good, Sam Smith, you come in and you're treated fairly, and you understand that, you know, we're human beings and we have a job to do just like you do, and to be able to have that working relationship. And at that time, of course, we were under a lot of pressure. So it's tough. It's tough both ways to be able to do your job, do it well, and get along with guys that are, you know, can be a little testy at times, especially if you have a bad game. So that's a real gift.
Who was the toughest guy in those Bulls locker rooms for the media to deal with?
Well, fortunately, those years we were winning championships, so for the most part, everybody was pretty good. But we were held to an extraordinarily high level, so there wasn't a lot of stuff written really bad about us, but. And yet we were still under a lot of pressure to win and continue winning while I was a player.
We're talking to Bill Cartwright, who's presenting Lacey Banks with the Ring Lardner Award tonight at the Union League Club, 5:30 downtown. It benefits the Union League Boys and Girls Club. I also heard that Lacey was a big poker player and would play with Jordan. Is that true?
Well, you know, I wasn't a poker player. I would recommend him. That's probably not a good idea, basically, because Michael could just go from one pocket to the next. So that was a losing proposition. But you know what I found with Lacey? What he did, I was really surprised. One night I walked in, and that dude was singing. He was singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And as crazy as that sounds, he was pretty good. So I was very surprised to hear that. But, you know, the guy was a really diverse guy, and that was really interesting to me.
So you stayed away from Jordan's card games?
Yeah, you know, I had a family, four kids. I couldn't go pocket to pocket.
Right. You weren't exactly playing at his stakes. I'm curious, what do you think of the style of play in the NBA right now?
Well, I just go with it. Look, every old guy on the planet's going to tell you, you know, this league's not what it used to be. Guys are a lot tougher, better fundamental skills, and the league has always evolved. And this is what it is now. It's a perimeter team, a lot of teams, some five guys out. And you know what the next group, or I'm sorry, with the next championship team, the league will adjust to that team. So if they happen to have a post-up guy, we'll get our post-up game back. Right now, everybody's trying to play Golden State basketball, Golden State Warrior basketball, which is a little confusing since nobody has Golden State's players. You just have to go with it, what it is. It's entertainment. It's three-point shots. It's dunks. It's still basketball. It's just a different version of basketball. And, you know, being a fan of it, I just try to watch it. I try not to judge it, but you do. And hopefully it'll get back to a more rounded game so that we maybe have an inside game by either a big or a small or somebody who's going to have a game 10 feet in.
Yeah, it's just hard, right? Because three will always be worth more than two. And so now the math says take those shots. What I always think is if the analytics and everything that taught us about why this style of play is happening, if it would have happened back in your era, Michael and Scotty, those guys, you wouldn't have just had one three-point specialist, right? It wouldn't have just been Craig Hodges or Pax or later on Steve Kerr, like Michael and Scotty would have been shooting threes and practicing threes, right?
Well, I hate to tell you now, but everybody on the floor now should not be shooting three-point shots. Everybody shoots them, but everybody that plays is not a three-point shooter. So it's still kind of ridiculous what happens when you have guys who are not great three-point shooters shooting three-pointers. It's just the nature of the beast right now. And like I said, it's not great for me to watch. I watch it for the entertainment. I just watch it, go with it. I'm still a big fan. And like I said, it'll come back around. But let's not pretend that everybody who shoots threes now is a three-point shooter, because it just doesn't exist.
We're talking to Bill Cartwright here on The Score. How much are you following the Bulls? What do you think of the state of this rebuild?
I think they've got some, young players that you should be happy about. With LaVine, with Porter, with Carter, Markeson. If you got some nice young players, I think it's going to be interesting to see what veterans they're going to add with that, and now how they're going to build their bench out. So you've got some nice pieces, and it's going to be very curious to see what happens this summer.
You know, I think your perspective is so interesting as a player and then someone who also spent a lot of time on the bench, right? These NBA players have so much power, and it's what makes the league great, I think, how much power they have in a lot of ways. And they make so much money, way more than coaches. What's the hardest part about being an NBA coach of star players with power?
Well, I think that guys are still compliant. Guys want to do well. They want to play well. They want to show well. So, with rare exceptions, I think that guys are pretty compliant to their team, and they still have respect for their teammates. So you're going to see really, hopefully, good team basketball. The difference in the league right now is that if you're good, if you're a first-round pick, a lot of guys are looking at, two contract league. So if you come out and you're a first round pick, signed for a 5-year deal, and they come out after that, you can make a bunch of money. And your second contract, you could really be done by the time you're 32 years old. So as opposed to us, when we came out, we were looking for something to do or to have a second career after basketball. These guys, if they do it the right way, they really don't have to do anything. So the league has changed that way. The money has changed it that way, to where guys have to be a lot more mindful about their bodies, taking care of their bodies, taking care of their business on the basketball floor, because basketball, it can be their only business that they're dealing with.
Well, yeah, I mean, back in your day, right, we'd get the stories of Michael playing 36 holes of golf between playoff games. That would never work today.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about another career after sports where guys had to, because they didn't make the money that guys are making now. Guys are off to different careers. Maybe they're taking a job at a bank or they're aspiring to own their own clothing line, as Kevin Willis and Kenny Walker did.
Sure.
Right now, they're not thinking about that. They don't have to. They're just focusing on their basketball right now and working on their bodies, working on their next contract. So the league has changed that way.
Do you have do you still predict or expect that the Warriors are the overwhelming favorite, given that you follow it so closely?
Well, they are. But look, the Warriors have been vulnerable the last 2 years. So if teams have enough courage to attack them and be aggressive with them, they'll have an opportunity. But those guys still have three of the best scorers on the planet. So they're really formidable. And we'll see. And we'll see if they're stable enough to mentally to survive this year. Hopefully Kevin Durant won't let that situation happen again, what happened the other night where he basically took himself out of the game.
We're talking to Bill
Cartwright. Warriors have been fortunate. They've been healthy. They did have that injury to Cousins. I don't think that's really going to slow them, so I think it's really up to them. And another team you have to really like is Milwaukee. Milwaukee's playing great. Got great shooting. They've got maybe the MVP of the league now. So they're going to be very formidable.
Yeah, I don't know if there was any guy back when you were playing quite like Giannis.
No, that kid's special. He's just a special player, and those guys come along just once in a while. So I'm sure Milwaukee's very pleased to have him. And he's fun to watch. And Milwaukee's fun to watch right now. They not only get it from him every night, but they have a really formidable team. They can score. So I think they're going to be a real problem.
Bill, our audience on the text line is loving hearing from you. What are you doing these? Obviously, you're still following the league very closely, but what are you doing these days?
I'm living in San Francisco. I do some work for the University of San Francisco, the Dons, which you should be excited about. Everybody should be excited about the Dons.
Always.
And yes, there we go. I'm their director of initiatives. So I know you don't know what that means, but I do a little fundraising. I do a little community outreach. And what I really love about it is that I do a lot of alumni connecting, especially with our past athletes. It's been great. I've been there 3 years now, so it's been a lot of fun.
Well, Bill, it's very cool that you're involved with this tonight on behalf of Lacey Banks presenting his daughters with the Ring Lardner Award for Excellence in Sports Journalism at the Union League Club. It benefits the Union League Boys and Girls Club. And his story is a very impressive one. So thank you for coming on The Score and telling the story. Thank you, Bill.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
That's Bill Cartwright with us, McNeil and Parkins, on The Score. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. That's at the Union League Club tonight at 5:30. And great, very impressive career, Lacey Banks. 40 years as a sports writer for the Sun-Times and the first African-American sports writer that the paper employed. Tonight, by the way, you can join The Score's Joe Ostrowski and Anthony Herron for a live broadcast at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village from 7 to 10 p.m. tonight. So we're taking you up until Bears All Access at 6, and then Joe and Anthony take over at Real Time from 7 to 10. You can go out there, meet Joe and Anthony, enjoy Sam Adams specials, and win Score prizes. Brought to you by Sam 76, the crushable Sam Adams. A very surprising player in Major League Baseball has come out against hitting batters when they pimp home runs. You'll hear the audio next on The Score.
Yeah! Tim crushes this ball. He throws the bat. The ball goes flying. It is gone. 2-0 Sox.
Jason Benetti on the call. Tim Anderson is getting people all up in their feelings. Lots of emotions on Tim Anderson and bat flipping and decorum. We very rarely have this conversation in basketball. We occasionally do have it in football because of Roger Goodell's No Fun League and taking out all the celebrations and then putting them back in. But the NFL's actually gotten it right. Baseball's really the major sport where this is a issue. And yes, salute major sport. We're thinking of you, Mac. If you missed Mac today on Chet Kopech's passing, we'll bring that back for you, by the way. About 5:20 or so. He was very emotional. He was going to come in today. Off the news of his father coming home and leaving the hospital and all of the tough battles that his family has been going through with his dad. And then he got the news of Chet, and he preferred to just do the eulogy over the phone, and he'll be back tomorrow after Cubs baseball. I'm actually working with Mike Mulligan tomorrow morning, so I have the I got the quick turnaround.
So do you go home and go to bed? Like, you have this plotted out?
You know me. I like to overanalyze and overthink a lot of things.
No way.
I know. It's hard to imagine. I'm going home. I'm going to have dinner with Steph. I don't know what she's doing, but she says she'll take care of dinner tonight, so that's nice. And Cubs aren't on, so that's helpful. Sox have already played. That's helpful. Probably try to be in bed by 9 o'clock if I can. Maybe take a Tylenol PM or something.
Don't do that.
Why not?
Because then you'll be drowsy the next day. Your sleep's not good. Like, you sleep,
Yeah.
But it's when you wake up the next day, it's not like it's quality sleep.
Yeah.
I can verify that.
I've done the morning show, you know, Tylenol PM thing. Yeah, he's totally right about that. I would probably, you know, as before you eat dinner, pop a couple melatonins maybe. You know, calm you down, relax. You get some solid sleep. You'll wake up hopefully really refreshed, even though it's going to be at an odd hour when you wake up. So I think that would be a good plan.
How much have you guys both done mornings? You've done it a lot, Tanny, right?
Yeah. I used to fill in for Rock Mamola, who was their board op for a long time, for a number of years. So I would fill in whenever he would go on vacation. So, and when he was on paternity leave, I would fill in. So like weeks at a time, you know, and also just random days here and there. So yeah, it was quite a bit over the years. I was around the Mully and Hanley show when it first launched in the morning.
Okay,
after they moved, so I was here for that. So yeah, you know, I've done it enough times to know that it's it can be challenging, and I don't think, you know, ask anyone who does that shift, they never truly get used to it. So
right.
I wish I would have known about melatonin then, like I know about it now. So I'm spreading that wisdom onto you, my friend.
So you think take the melatonin early?
Yeah.
Calm yourself down and all that. Okay, maybe an 8 p.m. melatonin, something like that. All right, I like that idea. I would
actually begin the sleep process like right after dinner, because you're probably going to think, you're going to be in bed thinking for a little bit, like, why aren't I sleeping yet? What's going on?
That's a huge thing
for me. So you're going to have to build yourself in a little time for the neurotic, you know, for the brain conversation while you're laying there in bed.
Okay. Yeah, no, that, all right. That's very helpful. I've never done a show that starts at 5. I did a week. I filled in for a week in mornings in KC, but it was a standard morning show. Started at 6, and then I did overnights. But I've never had the 5 a.m. start. But I know that they don't do – I know that Z-Pak and Dustin have worked before the show, but that the hosts are, you know, if I get there at 4:30, that's more than enough time. So I don't need to get there 2.5-3 hours before the show like I do this one.
Yeah, I can tell you have a great production staff, and Dustin and Ray. And Dustin and Ray do a really great job getting the host prepped for the show, so you have nothing to worry about with Dustin and Ray.
With Dustin and Ray.
Yeah, 2/3 of the way you're covered.
Okay, got it. Dustin and Ray.
Don't expect any extra sound from Z-Pak. I mean, maybe he'll have Ray put it in. But don't expect Z-Pak to go do it for you. Because
okay.
I think you'll probably, if you show up here at 4:30, you'll probably beat him by about 25 minutes getting in.
Oh, wow. Okay. Listen, I'm not asking for anything. I'm just along for the ride. That show is a well-oiled machine. My goal is to just not derail it.
Yeah, well-oiled hosts. 2/3 of the producers are well-oiled.
Okay. Guys, so four
out of five ain't bad.
That's pretty 80%.
And the 5 at 5 is basically safe harbor. You can say whatever you want. Anything wild you want to get out there, you know, just say it in the 5 at 5.
Really? I got a pretty outlandish Bulls take that I've been holding.
Derrick Rose, you know, gonna run those jersey retirement thoughts by him.
It's in that
give it to a different crowd.
I've already given that take, but no, it's along the same line.
Bring Derrick Rose back.
No, not exactly.
Am I warm?
It's kind of related to Derrick Rose.
I'm stunned. Your 5 at 5 debut is going to reference Derrick Rose.
No, I'm not. I'm not. No, I'm not going to bring it. I'm saying if we need it in case of emergency break last topic, I got one in the old back pocket. But I'd feel like I was cheating on you guys, because I feel like you really are the ones who love my Bulls theories. I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, Tanny and I mean, we text about them after the show. We're so riveted by them all the time of, man, these deep Bulls takes.
I figured.
We're just the audience.
I figured you two were my guys. So I wouldn't want to do that. I'm going to give the morning show everything I got tomorrow, but I don't know if I've got my hottest in case of emergency break glass Bulls thought. I don't know if I'll unveil that tomorrow. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if the mood strikes. But Trevor Bauer, professional agitator, maybe the best way to describe Trevor Bauer, he weighed in on Sirius MLB Radio on the Tim Anderson situation and how pitchers should handle bat flipping.
I'm very much on the side of showing more emotion and celebrating accomplishments on the field and stuff like that. So I thought it was great on Tim's part. I mean, look, the guy just hit a homer to put his team ahead. It is hard to hit a home run in the big leagues. Just to hit the ball is hard. I struggle with that myself. But to hit a homer off a guy that's been throwing well, like another big league pitcher, like, it's hard. You should celebrate it. I mean, that's what the fans really want to see, I think. Like, look at what the NFL did. They tried to take away end zone celebrations, faced massive backlash. and then put him back in, and everybody's happy. It gets so much play. It gets put all over social media. It draws a lot of fan attention in. You see it all the time in the NBA. Guys have their three-point, you know, they hit a three-pointer, they have their little dance, or their, you know, Harden's got the, you know, keep feeding me little thing that he does, and Curry's got his little
shimmy,
you know, celebration that he does. Yeah, like, it's great. I don't see it as showing someone up, you know. It's just like celebrating, like, man, this game's hard and I just did something. I'm going to celebrate it. And no one gets mad. Like, if someone hits a homer and the entire dugout celebrates, like, no one gets mad about that, you know. So why are we getting mad about a player celebrating? Now, that being said, I'm a pitcher and I definitely understand that there's, you know, lines that can be crossed. Like, if you are talking to me or staring at me or making it personal, like at me, mm-hmm. then, you know, there might be an issue. But I don't think Tim did that. I think he hit it and he looked at his dugout and he was trying to fire his guys up. It wasn't at all about the opposing team. It was, you know, like celebrating with, you know, me personally and with my guys. So that's kind of where I stand on it, man. The baseball needs more of that because, like you said, it created a huge story, and now a bunch mm-hmm. of people's eyes are on baseball, and that's good for the game.
Anyone disagree with one word of what Trevor Bauer just said?
No.
I don't either.
Not at all. And I think that this Tim Anderson thing yesterday, like, you turn on MLB Central this morning, it's the equivalent of Good Morning Football on the NFL Network for those that don't watch MLB Network. It's their second story. It's the one they talk to the most in-depth first segment. It's like the most interesting thing the White Sox have done or been a part of in years and years. And it's interesting, but it's also, it makes them fun. It makes them for a young generation here coming up. Like, this is a fun team to watch. They put fun in the game. Totally for it.
Not only am I for it, I just think it's refreshing to hear a pitcher say, listen, if you shout at me or make it about me, then we got an issue. But if you're celebrating your accomplishment or watching your home run or flipping your bat or watching going towards your dugout, then awesome. We need that personality, and it's my job to get you out next time. I thought that was a really, I mean, as enlightened and smart as you can get when talking about a baseball brawl that wasn't. I mean, this isn't exactly splitting the atom, but that was a pretty insightful point. He didn't show up the pitcher. He pumped up his team and celebrated his accomplishment. It's not like he screamed at Keller, like, I gotcha. And you know what I mean? I thought that was actually a really good point from Bauer that I hadn't considered, that he wasn't taunting him. He was celebrating his own accomplishments. That was well done.
I'd love to get Bauer on the show. Wonder if the Indians can help with that at all, because he's just an interesting dude in terms of, like, he was very vocal about the Houston Astros pitching staff, about what they were doing in terms of spin rate and things with that, of kind of calling them out for not necessarily like the steroid use people want to say and throwing allegations that way, but saying that the spin rates for their pitchers don't really make sense unless it's something helping out with Aiden the ball in that, like last year. He just is, he's thoughtful on a lot of things pertaining to that.
And he's wrong on a lot of things, but that's, you know, he's an opinionated guy who wears his heart on his sleeve. Yeah, I would talk to him.
Right, he's thoughtful, not necessarily always correct.
Yeah.
But thoughtful.
Yeah. And I also wish that pitchers would do it more if they wanted to. You get a big strikeout, pump your fist, scream, do a backflip. I don't care. How awesome would that be? Carlos Zambrano makes his comeback to the big leagues, gets a big strikeout, does a backflip on the mound.
I mean, that'd be the newsworthy thing if Carlos Zambrano could do a backflip.
That would be surprising.
That'd be more surprising than an actual, like, just a pitcher doing it. It'd be like, wow, Big Z, busting out the backflip.
Didn't think he could get up there. But yeah, I think that baseball needs more of it. I think it would help. And I don't think it takes away from any of the sanctity of the game. Tanny's Open coming up. If you missed Mac on Chet Kopick, that's in 25 minutes. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.